Hi, friends. Owen Locke and Rick Talley here from Locke & Company Distilling.
First off, we'd like to thank Sam and Jay at the Unfiltered Podcast for all they do in our industry, community, and more importantly, it's just good to work with great guys like them. Owen and I are Colorado natives. We've spent more than a decade perfecting our Aspen-aged rye whiskey, and we think it's well worth the wait. Rye whiskey usually isn't for the faint of heart, but we have to say this is hands down some of the smoothest rye on the market.
That comes from our 95% rye, 5% barley mash bill, and our unique aging process. We age our whiskey in smaller 30-gallon barrels for a minimum of 2 years, and then we finish the rye by adding hand-cut and hand-charred aspen discs harvested from our family property outside of Fairplay, Colorado. This artisanal process produces an extremely smooth rye with notes of light brown sugar, cinnamon, to balance the spiciness of the rye grain, truly delivering a taste like none other.
So, if you enjoy gold medal winning spirits, want to support small business, and need a gift for the holidays or for yourself, please consider making Locke & Co. Aspen Aged Rye Whiskey your next purchase.
You can find our Aspen Aged Rye Whiskey at many bars and restaurants and most liquor stores on the Front Range and throughout Colorado. Check us out at lockandcodistilling.com. That's L-O-C-K-E at lockandcodistilling.com. Cheers from Rick and Owen.
This week, without Jay, unfortunately, I sat down virtually with Andrew Duvall, who is the head of sales and community engagement with Resolute Brewing here in Colorado. They've got a couple locations. He's been there since day one. Resolute's been on the show before. We had Sam Lyle on here before. He was their marketing guru, still does a lot of stuff for them. Resolute has been a big supporter of the show and a big friend of ours for a long time. And so it was good to talk to Andrew and to hear the story and to get into a little bit more about why they do what they do. So hopefully you'll enjoy the show. And as always, thank you for your support and have a fantastic week.
Probably use what this preamble to just get things going. So, okay, everybody, today, we'll jump into this conversation here in just a second, but before we get started with Andrew Duvall from Resolute Brewing, quick social plugs. As always, you can find Jay and I in Unfiltered Craft on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter. It's either unfiltered.craft or just unfiltered craft. So just search for us. You can get us there. YouTube, our YouTube channel, we can find great video of all of the things that we're doing, all the people we're talking to. Our website, as always, that's where you can get our merchandise, and as well as the podcast audio and the video, and that's just unfilteredcraft.com. And then if you're a Patreon subscriber, thank you so much for doing that. Those of you who are not Patreon subscribers, it helps Jay and I pay for gas money, but more importantly, it helps us pay for beer. That's patreon.com/unfilteredcraft. And then before we get over to Andrew, this is the first episode that we've been able to announce our 30 days of Craftsmas. And the reason why we kind of wanted to bring Andrew and Resolute Brewing on is because they're a Colorado brewery, and the entire point of Craftsmas is to drive traffic to our friends who are in the kind of craft beer making business, the craft brewery business, and the craft distilling business, not just here in Colorado, but across the country. I'll mention some of our sponsors as I kind of go through this, but just so you know the kind of details as I pull this up. So we're going to run a contest we're going to do it from the 1st all the way to the 31st. It's a point-based contest with the top 3 point getters earning prizes from craft breweries and distilleries from across the country. We literally have people from across the country who are donating stuff. So to earn points, every time that you responsibly, because I think I legally have to say this, consume a craft beer or a craft spirit, post to social media, to one of our accounts, post to one of your accounts, there we go, using the hashtag 30 days of Craftsmas, as well as mentioning the podcast Unfiltered Craft, and whomever you are drinking, whatever sauce, whatever beer, whatever whiskey, whatever vodka, if it comes from a craft brewery, make sure you mention them. So each time that you do that, you get 1 point. If you happen to go in and you buy directly from a Resolute Brewing, if you're down here at Centennial, if you're up at the cellar room up in Arvada, for example, you go in there, you buy from Andrew, or you buy from one of the bartenders up there, take a picture of it, show us that you're there, you're wearing your mask, you're being safe. We're going to award you 10 points for it. At the end of the month, we're going to tally everybody's points, and we're going to give the top three. I mean, it looks to be massive bundles of shit, to be totally honest. Like, good shit that you would wear and use and drink and all this. So, again, sorry, Andrew, you're sitting there, you're waiting for me to kind of turn it over to you. So far, here are our sponsors. And we're one day in, so thanks to all of our friends who are making this happen. Leaf and Denver, Leaf Sunday and Denver Sports Lab, the premier ski tuning shop in Colorado, if not the Mountain West. You get a he's throwing in a full tune, which I believe is about $210 worth, a $210 value, or you put $75 towards any service or boot fitting. So if you know the boot mechanics that are there, they're the best boot fitters, I would argue, on the front range. So you can put $75 towards that. Elon Naturals, our buddies up there, up in Boulder, they're putting in one of their $59 powder packs. It's got, I want to say, lip balm, pain stick, and a tincture, some fantastic stuff. Tivoli Brewing Company is going to throw in several six packs to those who are here locally, as well as a bunch of merchandise for those if you win nationally. Spice Trade, the same. Lock & Co., a bottle of Lock & Co. whiskey that runs about $75. If you're here in Colorado, we'll ship that to you. If not, if you're nationally, we're going to ship some of the merch. Lady Justice Brewing, they're going to throw in some growlers. So thanks to Betsy and the crew over there for doing that. Bummer Peak, the boys over there, they're going to do the same thing, some merchandise and some of their spirits. Track Guy, which is it's actually my father, but he supports, he does a lot of things to support track folks and young track runners from across the country. He's done a lot of crazy, awesome things. He's going to throw in some pint glasses and some shirts. Odyssey Brewing here in Denver, they're going to throw in some growlers. Josh Bernstein, the New York Times craft beer writer, is going to throw in a signed book, his most recent book. So thanks to Josh. Meyer Skies, Ted Indian over there, he's going to throw in a tune as well. So you got that. Colorado Brewers Guild, talked to Shawnee today. Shirts for all three winners. So anybody who's a winner is going to get something that said, you know, one of the CBG shirts. I know they've got some really cool seasonal stuff that's coming out. Lukey Brewing, Jeff over there is going to throw in a stainless steel crowler, and he just showed me that. It's going to be pretty awesome. Deer Hammer, I talked to Lenny today. Again, it's more whiskey. If you want to drink whiskey, we have plenty of that, as well as some merch. And then Bear Creek Distilling, I just talked to Jay Johnson, one of their founders. He really wants to push their corn vodka. So apparently you're going to get that, as well as some merchandise. So clearly you got a bunch of shit. And with that, Andrew Duvall, what is Resolute going to throw in?
Well, first off, shout out to Leaf from Denver Sports yes. Lab. And if you haven't been down to Bear Creek Distillery to check out that corn vodka, I used to live stumbling distance from there until about a couple months ago, but definitely do it because it's awesome. But as for Resolute, I'll stop plugging other businesses. How's my volume? Pretty good?
You're good. You're good, buddy. It sounds awesome.
Well, and while we're on the subject, we'll go ahead and throw in a couple six packs each of our newest beers we've just come out with. We've got our Bonus Tracks Black IPA. Let me get a good picture.
Ooh, look
of that.
At that. There you go. There you go.
It's been selling like hotcakes. Came out a couple the week before Thanksgiving. And you got that nice, like, kind of Keystone-esque night skiing scene there.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
Black IPA. So we've been really digging it this time of year. We're going to throw in a couple six packs of our old-timey amber lager. We got this football scene. We've been running this in September. It's kind of like our football season seasonal.
Okay.
Super easy drinking, crushable amber lager.
We'll
throw a couple of those in, and then, you know, some of our standing room only IPA, All the Fuss Lemon Drop Sour, and Grill Sauce American Lager.
Wow, I think you just upped the ante. So anybody who's listening, that's awesome. Let me ask you, Andrew, before you kind of introduce yourself, who did the artwork for the cans? Because, I mean, it's amazing. You just showed the pictures. Let's just talk about that right now.
That's a great question, man. His name is Ken Serafin. He lives actually just down the street here from the brewery. I'm at our Centennial location, the Mothership, right now. He is a freelance artist that's been working for AEG in the NFL. And when we started this whole process of like, how the hell are we going to stand out? We need, you know, none of us can, you know, draw a stick figure that looks good. So we're looking outward. We're looking at all of our friends, all of our networks. And we see this guy's concert poster that he made for Neil Young a couple years ago. I'd have to share that image with you guys, but it was amazing. It was inspiration for our Red Rocks standing room only IPA six pack. That was the original kind of inspiration for it and what he mocked up for us. Cause we're like, we want cockpit view at Red Rocks. Can you do it and put it on a can? And he was like, sure, it's going to cost you. So yeah, we worked with him and we've had this process. I mean, the first three labels that we made took like 4 months. It was crazy. And it was it was way too expensive. So, we got this system down working with him, and we have a new label he's working on us for early spring, late winter. And we just got that done in almost 2 weeks. So like we got this system down.
So we don't have to follow a timeline, obviously, as this, and I'm not going to edit it. So let's keep on this conversation, right? Then you can kind of explain who you are. But you've been there since the beginning. So let's keep going with the cans. Those cans tell a story. You know, I think we had the folks from Bootstrap on last week. Obviously, their cans are so unique. When you go into a liquor store, you can tell it's a Bootstrap can. You know, I mean, same thing with Resolute. Tell me about the conversation when you guys were designing those cans with that artist. Was it, let's tell a story? Was it here, you know, you just, you know, take the beer and taste it and give us something and then we're going to argue against it or with it? Like, how does that happen?
That's awesome. And it's crazy you bring that up right now, because I'm working on a campaign to kind of show that story. Now that I'm kind of running some of our social media and stuff, but each one has been different. But originally the first three labels are standing room only IPA, the Grill Sauce American Lager, and All the Fuss Lemon Drop Sour. We reached out to Ken. We met him in person, went back when you could do those sort of things. And we kind of had like a brainstorm, just like spit any idea out there. And away from that meeting, we realized our brand and what we want to convey on our cans is similar to a lot of other breweries, but also like Colorado lifestyle. You can take them anywhere. The people and the demographic that our tap rooms are in and the people we are around and that we support in our community are all active. We're always outside. You know, we're always trying to make the best of any situation, whether you're in a parking lot outside a ski resort or parking lot outside of Red Rocks, just all these iconic Colorado type scenes. That was our original focus. Obviously you run out of those pretty quickly on a can or on a label format. So, you know, obviously we leaned on our artists heavily for recommendations. I mean, I remember if you look at our Grill Sauce label, it kind of has like a Norman Rockwell old school vibe to it. And I remember him like getting really excited and kind of perking up in his chair and showed us some of his sketches that he's done in that style. And we're like, well, let's go with that. Like, we aren't artistic. We're just trying to work with you. Like, we don't want to tell you everything to do. But I think the real challenge for us was to like wait until he got enough of his own ideas out before we started like, oh, please do this and put this color there. We didn't really do much of that. Like, we spitballed and then he delivered. So hats off to Ken. He's the man.
How does it work then, like when he's presenting you with examples? Is it, here's a big canvas? Is it digital? Do you include things like the barcode and the ingredients on that? Like, how does that work? As a beer drinker, we need to know, you know, what does that process look like on the back end?
Yeah. So, I mean, we give them a template, you know, obviously at the end of the day, this has got to fit into one of these cans, you know, that's going to fit in your hands. So we don't start by including the barcode or any of the type. And we don't give him any of the type ahead of time until we're like closer to the end. Cause we don't want to sway his art. So like we write our descriptions to you know, the beer and the art, but we don't want him to make the art to our description. Like, we can always improve our description and our type, but we want the artist to be able to do his thing. So yeah, I mean, like, he's going, he has this digital program he uses, and it, the way he's described it to us, it's like digital finger painting. So, I mean, you see layers that he adds over time, and that's what I'm really excited to show, because I have, from what he doodled on a pad in a bar to him making the first mock-up with, it looks like Where's Waldo or whatever, just mm-hmm. like, it's all pen strokes. And then you see him actually, like, coming in, you see, like, what looks like finger painting almost. But I think the digital tool that he uses, I'm not exactly sure what it's called, but comes in and professionally you see, like, paint strokes and the different layers, and it just, it's art. I mean, it's just, he's not using oil on canvas. He's just, he's doing it online. So
that's so rad. His computer. Holy shit. What was the, I'm trying to think of, I was going to make a joke. Like, what would, my parents had a Mac or like an Apple, you know, desktop in the late 1980s, and Apple had like a digital, you know, paint tool. I think, I can't remember what it was. It was like Apple Paint or something, or, you know,
well, remember Microsoft. Mario Paint?
Back yeah, the there you go. There you go. Well played, buddy.
I'm a little too young for the 80s Apple, but early 90s, we had Mario Paint. You had Fly Swatter on there.
Oh yes, I'm probably not that much older than you. I think I just look older. You know, this quarantining with my kids is getting me there. But
everyone, man, everyone's got like crazy hair going. Like, I know, just going with it.
Oh my god, I feel you. All right, let's go back a little bit. Can you introduce yourself, and can you tell us your title? And let's start there.
Well, by the way, I'm Andrew Duvall with Resolute Brewing Company. I've been with these guys since the beginning, the very beginning. We were supposed to open in May 2016. Sorry, I was a little parched.
No, you're good. You're good. You got to stay hydrated.
Started the whole, like, you know, offer letter exchange and all that in February of 2016. So I remember, the day I applied was the day of the Broncos Super Bowl parade. I don't always remember that. I was very happy at my job, but I was like, man, this is a great opportunity. And started working with them and helped them get the whole company together with an awesome team and a lot of the same people that we still have. Jamie, our taproom manager, was with me in those early days. Actually, I think she actually won the job that I applied for, and they created a job for me because they liked us both. So we still like joke about that. And I remember the second interview was bringing Jamie and I over to the former Future, which is now Black Project. And it was like, well, do we have the job? But you're bringing us out for beers. And we brought our significant others. We're like, is this a job yet? You're not paying us. it was crazy. These guys are awesome though. Working with the same team. We opened in August, 2016. I'm our sales and community manager. So wear many hats, and as we've grown throughout the years, I've kind of, you know, found my role a little bit better. But right now, as we kind of fall back, I mean, unfortunately, I had to lay off some folks. I'm assuming some of the stuff I did from day one, so it's pretty cool. I work with our distributor directly, Colorado Craft. They cover most of the state of Colorado. They've been growing along right with us. Right before I got on this call, I was on the phone with them. They just had their 5th year anniversary. So we are growing at the same rate as they are. Really awesome people, local crew that we get to work with and grow with. And not a lot of breweries get that opportunity to start on the ground floor, and we get to grow as they grow, and we're kind of pushing each other. Mm-hmm. And I could get way into that, which we can. I also get to work with all of our charities, which I'm really excited about. This year, not so as much, kind of sucks, but there are a handful of organizations around town, and I'm sure in the future we'll add more to that. So I've always been working with them and kind of directing where our philanthropy focuses go, which is a really crucial part of my job and something I pitched to them and kind of demanded when I first got hired, and have been able to grow through that.
Let's get back to that. But first I want to ask, what were you doing before you got, like, you know, you liked your job. What were you doing before this job?
Give me one quick second. Hold on. I'll answer.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. iPhone headphones are so good. They're like the best mics.
It's oh, absolutely.
$300 mic that I had to buy.
Well, I loved my job before. I was the taproom manager over at 222 Brew out in Aurora, Aurora Centennial. Working there, I hadn't really, I'd worked in the beer industry, but not in the brewing industry. Had managed different bars around town and in Indiana, where I'm from, before I came out here. But really to like, I knew that if I wanted to work in the beer industry, I had to like kind of, you know, cut your teeth. So was their taproom manager for 2 years, started a sales program there, you know, 10 accounts, and it was like throwing it in my Subaru, kind of folksy.
Yeah,
it was awesome, man. But, and I still wish those guys well. They just kind of, you know, they really like sticking to that neighborhood vibe. And that's honestly where I learned, made a lot of connections on the philanthropy side of things, because they focus on that, you know, $2.22 of, or 22.2% of profits all go to charity there. So they had, we had charity of the month program, stuff like that. And just awesome people there, awesome owners, and Matt Weaver, the head brewers, always improving and always kicking ass over there.
So why beer for you? Why did you want to get into it? Why did you want to cut your teeth in it coming from Indiana? I mean, what was it that drew, I mean, was it one beer when you were in college or, you know, high school?
Many potentially? Beers.
Yeah. It was, but what was it? What was the beer? What was the one that changed everything? Because I'm a Midwesterner myself. I grew up in Iowa and I went to University of Iowa, so I kind of know.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's, but there wasn't a lot of good beer out that way, you know, when you and I were at that age. So,
I mean, There's a, it's kind of blurry looking back, but the one single beer, I still remember that day. It was, July 4th, 2007. I'd already been introduced to craft beer. I've had, you know, the Sam Adams. I've had, at the time, our college bar down the street always did pitchers of Goose Island, 312, the Urban Wheat. That was before they, right before they sold out. So, but I remember when my uncle, you know, a little underage, but handed me a Sierra Nevada. And I know that's like so cliche in the beer industry. Like it was Sierra Nevada, but like, man, it was like 4th of July, 2007, just like chilling in the backyard. And, you know, I forget, I was probably drinking something like Fat Tire or whatever, but that moment, like, and my palate wasn't really attuned to anything hoppy yet. And just like, imagine like why did that bitterness, why is that there, like why does that exist? And then just, you know, picking up Dogfish Head and Two-Hearted, you know, the Midwestern big hitters, Osiris Pale Ale from Sun King. They dominated Indiana during my time in college, and you know, we always said Sun King Cream Ale is Bud Light done right. That's how you had to teach people from Indiana how to drink a cream ale. And I mean, I managed a bar there, and that was But I come from a family, a background. Just we opened restaurants all throughout Indianapolis in my like childhood and teenage years and college years. And my uncle still is kind of into that out in Indianapolis. So you know, like a lot of people, you try to get away from like the family business. So I actually studied meteorology in college.
Where'd you go to school, by the way? You haven't said.
I mean, I might as well show you guys. I went to Ball State University.
Oh, you did. Yes. Yeah. The Mac. Maction.
Maction, baby. Maction. Hey, they're tied for first right now.
I know.
Keep an eye out, man.
I've lost some money on them.
hey, never bet against Maction's the best, man.
I know. No, it's great. There's a lot of points scored for sure.
So yeah, just grew up doing that. Actually came out to Colorado for working with AmeriCorps. But that was a program. I don't want to get way too into it, but it was a program that fed into a FEMA position that I worked in. And I used part of my degree to kind of mess around with that for a couple of years. But just with anything, I felt like I just kind of got, you know, my passion and my like the things that made me happy and surrounded myself with people that are passionate about flavors and tastes and, you know, I don't know, homebrewing at the time. I'd still homebrew as little as possible, but homebrewing a lot more at that time when I had more time. And just like the fascination with the science end. I mean, there for a while, I thought I was going to be a head brewer. But yeah, just, I remember when I had zero experience at all, and I just moved to Colorado, and I was fed up with my government job, and I applied to be the head brewer at Left Hand.
Okay.
Like, nice. Just seriously. Nice. Like, no, like, my references were like, yeah, my buddies have drank my homebrew. Like, I had no idea.
Give them a call.
Doing. Yeah, like, but it was, you know, it was a shot in the dark. Of course, I got shut down. But, no, just, I love this industry. I love the people. I love that we still have a lot to improve upon. If the pandemic hasn't shown everyone, like, you know, if 2020 hasn't shown everyone, like, hey, like, don't rest on your laurels. We've got a lot of room for improvement. And we've got, Resolute's got a ton of room for improvement. We've got a long way to go, but I'm excited to be a part of it.
But I mean, I guess a place like, what I think of breweries like you and breweries like Lady Justice, where your place in the community is so front and center to what you do, but you're also trying to do these, you know, maybe a little distribution, you're trying to can, you're trying to get out there. So tell us about the philanthropy stuff and how that kind of was at the center of Resolute from day one. What was it? You, was it you talking to the owners and the head brewer and all of that? Like, why was that something that Resolute wanted to do from the very beginning?
I don't believe it was just me. Okay. I think I might've improved on what, or maybe narrowed down that vision a little bit, but all of our owners, are from Colorado. Three of them are early 2000s, late 90s Columbine kids.
Okay.
So obviously there was that traumatic incident in their lives, and that incident to this day, like their peers and themselves and their families are still dealing with it. So and our original head brewer was also a Columbine kid. So right off the bat, there was opportunity there to work with groups that help with PTSD. Not just in Colorado, but we were in touch with groups that were advocating for that, and we felt very strongly about that. So we rallied around that. And unfortunately, at the time, that was fresh off the heels of the Aurora Theater shooting as well. Mm-hmm. While I was at 222, I had started working with a group called the 720 Memorial. They are a memorial that's now built in Aurora at the Aurora City Building. For those families. Mm-hmm. So my work with them didn't stop once I got a new job. We now have a beer fest that we throw every year, except for 2020. This year would have been our fifth year. It used to be a 5K in beer fest, and that was way too much to manage for a handful of people. But yeah, like just things like that. I already had my claws in the community. They had the aspirations and the logo and the mantra of community craft culture. And I really clung to that. I'm like, hey, we're going to make the best beer. We're going to bring in this award-winning brewer. We're going to kick ass in that department. That's craft. Community, I'm going to do everything I can without breaking the bank at our, you know, and running out of money to give back and have our place be as like a rallying center in the neighborhood. I want to have cool events here that aren't just about drinking beer or drinking holidays. Like, I want to have events that are like raising awareness for a cool cause or a noble cause in our community that we need. And that was kind of, I mean, my pitch was better than that 5 years ago, but that was my pitch to them. And what I still kind of get excited about when 2020 happens, like I still have this role where I can work with really cool people and actually make a difference. So you guys are doing the same thing. So
I'm glad that you brought up, I'm not glad that you brought up, but it's good that you brought up Columbine, because I recognize the connection between Resolute and Columbine. You know, the guys who started Resolute, your connection to them. We are good friends with Hog Haven and Erin and her husband out there. Deeply affected, right, by Columbine, Aaron being a student there, and you know, you doing events with Hog Haven very often.
Oh, yeah.
To kind of raise awareness and all of that. And also, you know, Leaf Sunday and Denver Sports Lab having that connection to Columbine in you know, multiple ways. And so it's nice to have this community of friends, especially on the south side of Denver, southwest side of Denver, who are so, so connected and also not forgetful of what has gone on. And I think, you know, that moment played such a part in defining this city in ways that you and I probably, Andrew, will never understand because we weren't here when it happened. But, you know, you get to know friends, you get to know people where, I mean, that both of those events, actually, if you want to throw in, you know, the Aurora shooting, Denver, the metro area has suffered some major, major, I don't want to say catastrophes. What's the word I'm looking for? Just
tragedy.
Tragedies, you know, and beer has played such a huge part in starting conversation and getting us through that. I mean, I think if you go out to Aurora and you see, you know, an Ursula or you see a launch pad, it's the same kind of thing. I mean, it's so much a part of the community out here. And I think a lot of people are beginning to understand that, you know, in the Midwest, on the East Coast, it's been that way. On the West Coast, it's been that way. But beer is that thing that kind of brings us together in ways that it did 100 years ago, but now it's kind of returned. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, man. And I mean, that's once again, another thing that just draws me to it still and keeps me coming back. Yeah, and like you said, like, I wasn't here, but the people that I've met, the people that I've worked with, the projects that we've collaborated on, I mean, these people that were affected by these tragedies are, you know, in their prime of their life. They have families, yeah. And they're peaking in their careers, and they have these amazing skills. And I think it's just fascinating just to work with those folks after the tragedy, you know, the trauma they've been through, but also to rally the community. Like, it's I don't think it's like beer is really easy to bring people together around. It is kind of the low hanging fruit, but like, as long as we can keep doing it and we keep using beer for good. I mean, look at Lady Justice, look at Launchpad,
yeah.
Look at 222. I mean, we could name 400 breweries in Colorado.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Most of us are awesome, and it's not a competition. We're all collaborating together, and it's like, hey, I got this idea. You want to work on it together? And usually the outcome's pretty cool, and we get to have a beer during it. So
it is pretty awesome. I mean, I think we try to really hammer that home plenty of times on the show, is craft beer is not competitive in that sense that micro or macro beer is. Yeah. You talk about, it's interesting, you brought up Goose Island and the whole selling out thing. But now when you go to Chicago, and I'm sure you've been to Chicago plenty of times in the last 10 years, you know, that purchase by AB allowed Goose Island to do all these great things for their community and allow, you know, experiment with stuff. And a place like Revolution now, you know, views, you know, Goose Island almost again as a craft brewery. It's not, you know, it's a partnership. It's a friend, all of this stuff. So it's so beautiful about this industry that y'all are in. And so, It's pretty awesome. Let's because, you know, I don't want to take too much of your time, and who knows where the hell we're going to cover in the next 30 to 45 minutes. But why did y'all choose Centennial? Let's start there. Like, why where you are in, you know, South DTC? Because I go there, friends go there, families go there. We've taken our kids there. Why where that location is?
Well, Sam, believe it or not, 5 years ago or 2015 when they started looking, there weren't many breweries out here. They were looking in the metro area of Denver. I mean, at that time, Denver was saturated. And, you know, it's not cheap either. But, yeah, I mean, these guys all grew up rocking the suburbs. So I believe Highlands Ranch and Littleton were on the docket originally. Yeah, they found this location, and you know, we're close to the Denver Tech Center. We're close to Fiddler's Green. We've got somewhat, you know, a lot of people, believe it or not, treat us as like a last stop before the airport, which we'll take it. We've got the light rail coming down here. It's just, and we have plenty of homes right across the street. So we got a good mix of travelers coming in to the DTC and folks that can walk across the street. Now, my favorite thing about it down here is we got some cool breweries that have opened up around us. not going to lie, since I've started here, I was always a little jealous of like the Rhinos and the Highlands and just places where you could go and hit three or four breweries on foot or bike or on a trolley or horse or whatever. But now we've got like some really cool neighbors. I mean, we always had Lone Tree. They've been amazing to us. But we also have our closest neighbor now is Peak View Brewing Company. They opened in 2019, I believe, in April or May. And those guys are amazing. Like, we've collabed with them. We've tried to do several different charity beers here and there that kind of fell through because of COVID. But, we just have all these things and the excitement to have people brewing beer next to us that we're friends with and we're pumped with. We got Jeff Tyler from Spice Trade, who's like one of my buddies. Go to hell, Jeff. But he's right down the street now, and I don't have to drive all the way to Arvada, except now the joke's on me. We just opened another location in Arvada. I'm just kidding. No, I love that Jeff has his own spot. I want to talk about that for a quick second. Like, I know that guy's been working harder than most trying to get that place open, and they're crushing it. So quick shout out to Jeff Tyler.
You nailed it. I mean, you nailed it. You three crap breweries down this way. We can probably throw Halfpenny in there too, but they've been around for a while. But
they opened the same year as we. I got to give them love too. They opened the same year as we.
I think craft beer in the south side, but also the north side, right? I think if you go up to Arvada, it's a family experience. It is it's a place, not just a family experience, but quite honestly, like, you did a 10-hour day at work, whether you're a college professor or a construction worker, and the breweries where we live, right? Those are our local taps. That's the place you want to go. You want to drink good beer.
Water and hole.
Kind of spoils us too, by the way. So let's talk about, but I mean, with that said, like, how are you selecting food trucks, by the way? Because I know neither locations have, you know, kitchens. And so how are you cultivating food?
So huge shout out to Jamie, our taproom manager. She plays the food truck game. Okay. It's like whack-a-mole between the two locations. I did it at 222. I brought a lot of my connections that, you know, are still in business over. But Jamie was running Elk Mountain back in the day when we all came over, and she had a lot of similar a similar lineup that I had, and we had, you know, we exchanged information. And the food truck scene, you got to give them a shout out. They've really become more professional and evolved over the years. I mean, maybe this is just, I'm still traumatized by it, but in 2014 or 15, trying to pin down a food truck and hoping they show up on time was crazy. It was hurting cats, man. It like, you spend way too much time on it, and the return was not worth, the juice wasn't worth the squeeze. But shout out to the food trucks that have gotten their act together. They produce amazing food, but they're also professional. So we've got amazing partners here, and we'll continue to bring them in. I mean, I don't know how many food trucks Denver has now, but it's hundreds.
A ton.
Yeah. Gosh. So a lot of great people there too. And that's another thing, like, working with those folks on like catered events and beer pairings. We have a slider and beer pairing to go that we're doing to like kind of get through this. That's coming up. Like, just working with individual businesses and local businesses like that is like, to me, that's a successful day's work.
So. Absolutely. So I don't want to make this about me, but I think you might be interested in this. So Elk Mountain was founded by Tom Bell.
Yep.
Tom Bell grew up in a town where I grew up. There are literally 1,500 people in Southeast Iowa. So
what's the town in Iowa?
Columbus Junction. So okay. I have been to Elk Mountain several times. My dad and Tom went to high school together. And so it's pretty crazy. Like, this was probably 10 years ago, I guess, when I first moved here. That was, might have been my first craft brewery when I moved here, was to go to Elk Mountain. So
that's awesome.
I know he is. And I know he got out of the game, but he's still, you know, very involved with, you know, the community and stuff. So I had no idea that Jamie was there. So that's, I'm sure she was there. That's so cool.
She was there for quite a while, 2 or 3 years.
And now it's not Elk Mountain anymore. What's it called?
Downhill.
Okay.
Yep. And we actually, our taproom manager, Johnny, who runs Resolute Tap and Cellar in Arvada, our second location, came from Downhill. So we're just poaching everyone from Parker.
Well, I mean, it's a small, you know, you get south of, Arapahoe, not even south of Arapahoe, south of 225 in Hamden. It's such a small community. So let's talk. Well, I'm going to grab a beer real quick, but
let's do it.
Let's talk. I want to talk about the canning. I want to talk about that pivot, not just the design.
Okay.
We're talking about the canning and what that has meant since March 2020 to you. So give me a second. Think on it. All right. There we go. We're back. So you decided to can. When was the decision made to kind of start canning?
We started working. Well, we knew we wanted to have cans as early as January 2017, okay, believe it or not. Okay. Being a brewery of our size and the way that our back of house was growing, we quickly ran out of space for a canning line or even fermenters or cold storage, pretty much anything you need to can. Yeah. So we started, we know we wanted to get into the market. Earlier you mentioned Bootstrap. We worked with the same artist as Bootstrap originally. We have labels that were made by Moxie Sozo out of Boulder. It was not cheap, but they made original labels for us that kind of looked like Bootstrap a little bit.
Okay.
Had the same like genre. They were actually mazes on the can that you could solve. Our Crowler label is still made by them. But
nice.
But yeah, originally that was the deal, and then we got into this game of, we realized we had to contract brew. So we had to do the brewing offsite, just without making a crazy investment or buying a new location that, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, to get to a packaged product other than what we do, you know, single head filler in house. Like, we were going to have to at least begin by contract brewing. So we started working with Red Truck. They're the brewery at the Canadian brewery out of Fort Collins. They bought the old Fort Collins Brewing Company, which is a massive facility. So when they bought that, they came into the market, and I mean, they had fermenters sitting open. Now they have several breweries, us and Prost, and a couple others that brew and package out of there, and it's more of a co-op. We use their fermenter space. I mean, it's our recipes. They have a very nice brew system, so I mean, we're there on brew days, but it's a lot of automation. But also allows us to do it, so we're not breaking the bank. Beers that we normally would be pretty expensive, even for us in house. So we started contract negotiations with them over a year ago. Okay. And the initial plan, the marketing plan with my man Sam Sly, was all like, even before we had any inkling of COVID-19, was March 1st release date, and that's everything we got ready for. Yeah, it was crazy timing.
Holy shit!
Yeah, holy shit is right. So like we got everything. Shout out to Lucas, one of my he's on my sales team. Him and I don't want to go back through it, but we had, I think, 45 days from March 1st through April, completely booked out with the can release events. We had teamed up with, I know, everyone's 2020 got shat on.
That's a good word. Just shat it all over the walls.
Yeah, man. I don't even look at that spreadsheet anymore. It's all, I just painted it all red if it was canceled. But we had so many cool things. But yeah, March 1st with our distributor, we decided that was the best date. You know, everyone does dry January, not a great time to release new products, like in the distribution world. Cause we've been distributing kegs since 2017, to restaurants and bars all around Colorado, but cans is a different animal. You know, go to over 300 accounts overnight. So we worked with our distributor. We decided March 1st, get on the shelves before St. Patty's Day, start that summer ride, that summer wave. Luckily, unfortunately, it was the COVID wave, but
it hasn't hit it yet.
Yeah, I know, it's not over. We hit March 1st though, and shit, like, just, I mean, we sold into all these stores, and at that time, about mid-March, like, there was so much uncertainty. We didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one really was. And mm-hmm. We weren't even wearing masks yet. And like, for me to go into a liquor store, that's never met me, but my distributor, like, you know, they got this new product and they buy it, but you come in and you're like, hey, I'm Andrew. And you know, they're announcing new shutdowns every day and the lines are around the block. They're like, who are you? I don't want to talk to you. Like, don't try to sell me anything. Like, I'm like, you already have our beer. I just want to say thanks. So that was crazy to navigate. But we really wanted to get in cans, to make our, get our footprint out there. We have two locations now. We wanted to really drive home our brand, and we wanted to be a part of the Colorado experience, as cheesy as that sounds. We wanted our beer to be at Red Rocks. That's why we made a Red Rocks, you know, can. That was the ultimate, everything. We wanted to be more. We wanted to be out there. Working with our distributor as well, it makes them happy. They have more things to sell. They have more things to talk about us. It really did help our draft sales at first. They're like, oh, they're coming into cans. So people are like, oh, like, I'll stock up on those kegs. You know, that was late February, early March.
Yeah.
It helped us move the needle. It helped us grow. It helped me hire another salesman, and we were able to work together. Like, I'm able to delegate some things with him, and I had a team finally. Like, everyone else, you know, our back of house has a team, our tap room had a team, and it was really cool to have my team.
I'm going to cut you off. Yeah. How's it going?
It's going really well.
March 1st to December 1st is a long March time. Wow. So tell us, but let's just talk about what the fuck has happened over the last 9 months. Like, can you just, we're not in any rush for time. So, like, what has gone on over the last 9 months for a place like Resolute? Because you're not, you're not an Odell, you're not a Denver Beer Co., but you're also not, the local tap where it's just crowler sales only. You got into the game, you're trying to experiment. Tell us what's going on as the sales guy. You're the head, you're running the show. So what are you seeing? What are you learning?
I'm learning everything over and over again. Our liquor store sales are great. Thank you all who've picked up six packs. Those relationships, I'm still making new relationships. Heading to Colorado Springs tomorrow, like just going in and being able to talk to people is it's therapeutic to me. So like, you can't really do that with bars and restaurants right now. Just our liquor store accounts, they've been so good to us. They've been really lenient because of COVID. There's been a lot of supply chain issues. So like, when we first came out, we were in boxes, and now we were at like, our boxes were delayed for printing, so now we're back into pack techs.
Nice.
And
nice.
I feel like in the old times, you'd get hit pretty hard for that or get moved down a shelf. But now everyone, it's kind of the Wild West right now, because everyone is trying to package and get on shelves because we have beer in tank and we can't sell it out of our tap rooms. So it's a lot more competitive than what I was ready for. No one told me that Outer Range was going to start delivering to the Front Range to all of my liquor stores. You know, I love it. That's great stuff. But man, like, that shelf space is pretty limited. I think these changes that we're seeing, and they're rapid. Like, there's not really even a lot of time to adapt. Sometimes I think we're going to look back at this period of time and just our heads are going to be spinning. My head's still spinning. But this period of time will be studied on distribution for forever, just how quickly businesses shifted into a different sales model. And folks like Bierstadt, holy shit, they said they would never put their beer in cans, and they're crushing it. Shout out to Schmidl from Bierstadt, the sales manager there. We're doing fine. We're doing great. We have
what are you looking at? Like, when you wake up in the morning, what are you looking at on a daily basis, like numbers wise, and trying to figure out, like, you are that scene from Always Sunny in Philadelphia, right, where you've got the cork board. Yeah.
I feel like that all the time with the, the lines connected. But I always fall back on my number one customer is my distributor.
Okay.
So just to keep it, because you can get lost very easily, I reach out to my reps. I make sure Lucas and I are reaching out to our reps and making sure that their needs are met. Because usually you draw that line to that rep, and he's like, I've got 10 things I need you to do. I need 10 people you need to make happy. And you, we already have our routines and our routes, but I feel like utilizing them, making sure that, you know, our best accounts and all accounts as human, as much as humanly possible that we can cover in the state, at least we're seeing them and saying, hey, you know, they may not know what I look like without a mask on, but just making sure that we don't lose sight of that customer service. Like, I mean, that's the easiest free thing you could do is just like, hey man, how's the beer doing? Oh, it's not great. Like, what can we do? How can we help you? How can we help you move it? Could you put it on a different location? You know, we got this coming out. Just inform them, keeping people informed and just being seen. I mean, I think that's like one of the beer rep secrets. Like, you don't really have to do things some days. You just got to walk in and say, hey, like.
So those things like we haven't had this conversation on this show. Do you just trust the beer distributor? Is it one of those things where you just kind of give them a product? Like, what kind of conversation does a person like you have to have with the CBD? Like, what do you say to them at the beginning of that conversation to make sure that they understand the product and what you and the message and the brand?
Well, with Colorado Craft, number one rule, like number one prime is to never trust your distributor to sell your beer. Like, assume that they're going to sell zero of your cans. I mean, that would be a really bad relationship, but as long as you assume that and you're busting your ass right alongside them or asking how you can help, and making sure you have your routes, your areas you got to hit and the people you got to make happy. And, that to me, like, there is a little bit of assumed trust. I trust that they're going to handle my product correctly. Yeah. As to the best of their ability. I have 100% faith in them that they're going to display our product appropriately. They're going to deliver it on time. They're going to take care of those things that I used to do out of the back of the Subaru. But I'll do it myself too. Like, if they can't do it, I'll show up to the dock and throw it in the van. Like, I don't care. I think just having that trust, but also like, yeah, you're at your accounts. You're like making sure that you're, you know, say you just sold 20 cases. Why were they put like right in front of the door? Like, I don't know. Just, it is a little bit of micromanaging, making sure everyone's, the beer is taken care of on every step of the way. But I trust our distributor. That's why we went the small distributor. We don't get lost in the portfolio. You know, we're not running around with the elites or the breakthroughs yet. We can't really do that volume anyways. But like, that's why we went with a smaller distributor out of the gate, is that we could grow with them. And someday maybe we're doing that volume because we grew together.
Who are the big sellers over the last 10 months? Like, what liquor stores are selling the most Resolute?
We're really impressed with, believe it or not, Whole Foods.
Yeah,
those guys are doing good, great for us. There's about 13 different locations around Colorado, but I got to talk about the local guys. Lucas Liquors, you know, right here in our own backyard, is killing it for us. Molly's North and South. Once again, when they opened, we were so happy to have them. They opened about a year ago. So having Molly's, you know, half mile and a half down the road, those guys are amazing to us. DTC Wine and Spirits, Tamarind Liquor, I can go on. Applejack.
No, it's the same ones. Everybody says the same thing, whether it's a craft brewery or a craft distillery. It's those same folks, North, South, Denver, Whole Foods, obviously, right? The big elephant in the room, but it's a Molly's. Also, it's a Lucas also Liquors.
Sobo Liquors.
Yes.
Little's Liquors. Those guys are awesome. I mean, we can be on a huge set or we can be on like, you know, a two shelf wall. And I feel like our product's represented well. Davidson's has been great to us. I can go on and on. I hope I'm not offending anybody, but.
Point is, I think from this, Andrew, is if you can buy beer and you cannot go to the grocery store to buy beer, you should, or liquor. I mean, amen. You know, if you're at King Supers at Yosemite and Bellevue, which is close to where I live, just go over to DTC. Just amen. Walk the 15 feet. Go over there, talk to somebody who knows what they're talking about. You know,
and they need it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And that's totally fine.
It's really hard to the cool thing about our distributor is they've decided to hold out, other than Whole Foods, they've decided to hold out from like the chains, like Safeway and Kroger. Or King Supers. I always say Kroger Midwest, but
yeah, I mean same big behemoth.
So they're not going to be able to beat that $7.99 four pack or six pack that's on the shelf at King Supers. Like, that's just not going to happen. Like, your mom and pop liquor stores need you now more than ever. They're having a good year because of you, because everyone's staying at home and drinking their asses off. But when this is all said and done, please keep going back there, because those guys will go away. I mean, we knew that when this legislation passed. That's why Colorado adapted to have such cool individual stores in the first place, was that we didn't have full strength beer and liquor stores, and you weren't allowed to have chains. We do have some stores that have multiple licenses now, and you still support those guys. If you want your neighborhood liquor store to have a cool set, ask for it. If there's a beer that you want, ask for it. They're going to find it. They want to stay in business.
If you're drinking craft beer, by the way, you can probably afford that extra dollar for a six pack. That's something we probably don't bring up enough on this show. If you appreciate beer enough to spend your time and effort to find good beer, that extra dollar and a half, just walk across the parking lot to the liquor store and don't go to King Supers or to Safeway. I mean, sure, we got to give them business, what have you, but I mean, I shop at Natural Grocer for a reason. I mean, it's one of those things. So,
if you wait in line for a $20 four pack, you can afford to go to a local liquor store.
Exactly. respect for brevity, what else would you like to plug? Where can we find, where do we go to kind of look up to see where we can get Resolute Beer? What are the socials? Tell us what we need to know.
First off, check out our website. We've got a crude beer locator that I've been working on. Okay. We've got about 130 or almost 200 of our accounts in there so far. But resolutebrewingco.com. Come to our tap rooms. We make, support our friends if you can't make it here, but come to our tap rooms. We got a lot of cool beer you can't find in stores or very limited out in the stores. Go to your local liquor store. If we're not there, ask for us. Give them my name, give them Andrew at resolutebrewingco.com, or just yell at me and I'll go talk to them.
That's funny that you say that. You're the second person in 3 weeks who has said, if they don't have our stuff on the shelves, just ask. And I think that's, to go back to what we were talking about 2 minutes ago, the local liquor stores, if they know that somebody wants a six-pack of Resolute or a bottle of, a Lock & Co. or a Deer Hammer, they're going to be willing to buy a case of it. They're willing to buy it. Exactly, yes. That's all you have to say is just, hey, can you get this on your shelves? They're going to try.
That's how we got in at, I forgot to mention, Bonnie Bray Liquors.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That neighborhood. I showed up. This was total happenstance, but I just hadn't made it in there yet. And this was like 3 or 4 months ago. But I started chatting with the guy, and he saw my shirt. I mean, he'd never met me. I had my mask on. He was like, "You're Andrew from Resolute." And I was like, "Yeah, man. Like, this is going to be good. This is going well already."
Yeah, you're good.
And he's like, "Someone's been asking to order your Amber Lager." And I like this, like, football. Holy and I was shit. Like, I was like, "It's not even out yet. What do you mean?" And he was like, "I don't know. Like, I was going to try to put in a request for a case of it today." And I was like, "I can do that."
That's awesome.
So yeah, it was like, it was crazy. It was about damn time that I got there. But little actions like that really do materialize into sales for us and amazing relationships. Now you can find us on tap, on shelf, all of our beers there now at Bonnie Bray.
Andrew Duvall, thank you so much. Thank you for the donation to the 30 Days of Christmas. Thank you for all that you do for our community. Resolute Brewing, if you're in Arvada, if you are in South Denver, if you are at a liquor store, go drink their stuff because they are great people. I say that in earnest. Y'all have been friends, believe it or not, for many, many years. Sam Sly has been a friend of the show for a year and a half. But I've been drinking at the South location, I think, since you opened.
Yeah, man.
It's so great to have you on and to hear the story. Really, really appreciate it. And tell Reno that, that Jay and I said hi, because that dude, he's a piece of work. Yeah, let's get him on. Let's see how he's doing.
Reno, you've been requested.
Oh, here he comes. Here he comes.
I said, if it gets to 5:30 and hasn't called me over.
You can probably just do straight mic.
All right, we're going to – hey, there he is. How you doing, old buddy?
Oh, let me turn it up a little bit. I can't hear you guys.
Turn it up. One just second. Me.
Nope, that's not the button. This is a Mac. I don't know how to do this.
I know.
Can you hear me? I didn't do it.
You got to unplug the mic. Unplug the headphones.
How do I get sound up? Because he's saying things, but I can't hear them. Oh, I just pushed that button.
Volume.
Can you hear me?
That's much better.
There he is. How you doing, old buddy?
I'm doing very well. How are you, sir?
Oh, my God. How's the wife? Good.
Very good. Very good. Okay.
Yep. All right. And so you're up at Resolute now.
I am.
You're killing it. You still got the same hat.
Thanks. I do appreciate that. Yes.
Oh, my God.
I meet a lot of people that are way more important than me, and they always remember that I was wearing this hat. They don't remember me, but they remember I was wearing this hat.
We remember you so well. So what do you tell us about, you know, you got a couple minutes here. What's a beer that you're making at Resolute that we should keep an eye out for?
So my last two me personal recipes have been saisons. I felt like it was a hole in our board, you know, something flavorful and showcased yeast that we didn't have that. That was easy drinking, light, you know, that kind of thing. So I made a couple of French saisons, and I think we're almost into like having a series of saisons.
So is it one of those things now that you're there and you're kind of obviously playing a big part in brewing, do you kind of have to push that on sales to make sure that that's in cans come March, April? Like, what's that conversation sound like? Because this is different than the last time we talked, right? Like,
yeah.
You're dealing with people who have a distributor and all of this. So what's that like for, as a brewer, explain that conversation as we begin to, I know it's not even winter yet, but you know, moving to spring, how does that happen?
So here at Resolute, what I feel like is the team is a lot more cohesive than my last team. And now that I've brewed a couple of beers, I think the sales staff is pretty much in on, if you brew it, we will talk to whoever you want to talk to. We will put it wherever you want it to be. And that's really refreshing for me, having not been in the distribution game before. I think generally my role is here to make sure we make whatever we do is executed well, and to sort of like push the boundaries where they need to be pushed. And I know that like the idea of saison doesn't sound like boundary pushing, but if it's a hole in our board, you know, that's kind of what I've been tasked with, to, you know, to fill those holes, to make things that people get excited about and sell well.
All right, buddy. I'm going to close up shop here. It was good to see you. Good to talk to you.
Absolutely.
Thank you to the rest of the to you and the rest of the Resolute crew. Reno, Godspeed, good sir, and be well and happy holidays.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, man.
All right. See you, buddy. Take care.
Have a good one.
Later.